Yeah, I'm going to pray as we prepare to open up the word, the message that the Lord has laid on my heart for today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for friends. We thank you for people that we can let down our guard and laugh with. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who we can let our guard down with. Lord, that you already know what's inside of us. It's an adventure just for us discovering what's inside of us, what you already know. Lord, and we can come confidently into your throne room to receive your mercy. Lord, to say, God, you know who I am. Will you help me? And you would say, I'm just waiting for you to ask. I would love to help you. I would love to walk with you. Lord, I pray as we open up your word this morning, Lord, as we press into all of who you've called us to be, Lord, that we would be keep our eyes on you. And the waves are crashing around, we'd keep our eyes on you and do what is impossible with man, but what is possible with God. In Jesus' name, amen. I think December is a lot of fun. I know as you look into it, it can be kind of stressful. It's like, map it out on the calendar. I love the new phone apps that we have now. Jackie and I share our calendar. And I have a few calendars that I will share with her. I won't share all the stuff that I'm doing just because I don't want to crowd her calendar, but it's really helpful. She goes, oh, I see that you're meeting with so-and-so today. You know, I say, oh, I forgot. Thank you. You know, that we need those calendars in it, and it just can be busy. And so as you maybe looked at December coming up, it's like, oh, that was busy. But can you believe we're here at December 28th? The end of 2025, you know, as you looked at December, all of the planning that you had to do, you know, and the busyness of holiday gatherings and kids maybe that you needed to shop for, planning for meals together, you know, as you got to share who's bringing what are you going to have? You know, is it going to be traditional or something you're going to step out? And as we come to of the end of the year. I use this time, I like it, just because it's a natural end of the year to kind of take a look back and take a look forward. And so I want to take that opportunity to take that context. Because, you know, if we look at your last year, you may have had a hard year. You're like, hey, there's a lot of yucky circumstances in there. And I'm looking forward to another year not like last year. Maybe you had a great year. You're like, man, I hope next year's going to be half as good as this one was. Lord, would you help bless my year? And maybe you're like, yeah, you know, Christmas, bah humbug. New Year, bah humbug. You know, it's like, you're just like, we want to wake you up because you're half dead. Wake you up. It's like, no, this is something to celebrate. God designed birthdays for us to celebrate. He has his festivals for us to celebrate. And the end of the year is really a time to evaluate. It's like, what did I pursue? What did I, was just a pipe dream that I didn't ever finish or never even started? And what is, do I want this year to be different about? There's a verse in Proverbs 16:9 that talks about plans. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. I see, to me, that just Proverbs, as we've done a lot of Proverbs studies, that it is that God, he's a planner, and so he's designed us to be planners. You know, and this, like, how do you look at it? I love the message, kind of like synthesis of this verse. It goes like this: we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Because sometimes I know my wife, and I'm always tell on her when she's not in the room. Is she in the room? I can't even. But I just say, she does not like to tell me what her goals are. Do you know why? Because she's afraid I'm going to give her a hard time. Are any of you like that? It's like, I don't want to tell anybody my plans. Because what? I might not follow through. Or I might fail. So that way, if I always kid about keep the bar low, keep the bar low. You know, that way if you get anything, you're like, oh, that is amazing. You know, you brush your teeth. Woo, yeah, way to go. You know, to keep it. It's like, no, God wants us to trust him. To say, what is it that God's laid on our hearts? What is it that we're like, oh man, I would really love it if I would do this, or I live like this, or I responded this way to these situations. I love what the message, he kind of says, not establish our plans, but what does he say? God makes us able to live it. That is what we talk about. We don't talk just about the two people of the Trinity. We talk about the three people of the Trinity. Father, Son, and what? Holy Spirit. The one who makes us able to walk that out. Because we need to have those kind of ideas that are beyond our ability, beyond what makes us a little tension in our soul. Because we can need to risk it. How do you want to live? What has God laid on your heart to pursue or change? This isn't an answer for you to give me. This is a question for you to answer for yourself. You need to hear. I don't need to hear God for you. God's got plenty of things and directions in here. You need to hear the Holy Spirit talking to your heart. What it is that you'll be brave to say, God, will you give me your Holy Spirit and make me able to live what you've laid on my heart? I just want to kind of go at this in two angles. And I know I'm not your classic three-point preacher, and I apologize for that. I think sometimes things can be synthesized in 3 points, but I think that how many guys write papers and they talk about the spider? You know, I can't remember that name, where you have your idea writing about it, and then you say, oh, I'm going to write about this. And next thing you know, you have like 10 things that you could talk about it, and then you start writing your paper. It just is one of those things that as we think about goals, and I titled this sermon, Goals That Grow Us Spiritually. Because those are the kind of goals that God cares about. I'm talking about how God wants us to plan. And I'm going to break this into two parts, just so if you take notes, which I encourage you to do, and we'll talk about why that's important in a minute. But the first thing is 5 ways that God wants us to plan, that gives us to plan. And the other one is 5 practical ways that we can establish goals. Okay? So don't get overwhelmed. But this first one is plan with God's plans in mind. Jeremiah 29:11, and this is like our one verse that we remember, is before I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God's already said, hey, I got plans for you. What kind of plans are they? Are they boring plans? No, they're good plans. They're exciting plans. They're hope-giving plans. They're future planning, looking forward to. I'm thinking, I can get on board with that. I mean, you guys want to prosper in what you do? You want good results in what you put your hand, decide to do? Guess what? God's right there with you. He wants you to be successful in what you plan. He wants you to walk out those things that he's given. We all want to prosper. As we plan, say, okay, I'm going to plan to succeed, not to fail. I want to be in consistent, in harmony with what God is already planning. And I think as we think of plans, and you see it in business models and stuff, but I think it's all truth comes from God. You know, every good business principle you've heard, God came up with it first. But I think about this planning with the beginning in mind. Psalms 139:14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know this full well. We need to start with the idea like, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Would you repeat that after me? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When I say start with the beginning, don't start with that crummy stuff that Satan says about you. or those friends say about you, or maybe even a parent that you grew up with because they grew up with that echoing in their head. Don't start with that. Start with what God says about you. I am fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. That's where we get to start. It's like, no, I'm starting with, you know, there's an enemy of our soul that doesn't want to start us there. He wants to start us down in the dirt and step on us and kick us and keep us from getting up. God says, no, you need to understand who you are. You need to understand who I made you to be. I'm a child of God, a new creation, chosen in love, empowered by the Holy Spirit, created to do good things, and given gifts to practice in the kingdom. That nobody comes up short. Everybody has been given something to bring to the table. Everything. And it's good and it's delicious. And without that thing that God has given you, the meal is not complete. That flavor that you're looking for. For me, as I do my... We did... I think I shared last week. We're doing... what's that? Gosh, that's terrible. I always have trouble. It's the thing you... meat you cook for a really long time on a Traeger. Brisket. Say it again. Brisket. Oh my goodness. Just for some reason I keep thinking birch, bananas, burgers. That's not it. Brisket. So we cooked that for, God, I don't know, I always end up talking about food. My daughter-in-law has a sous vide, I think that's how you say it, where you put it in a bag and you seal it. And they cut the brisket up that Jackie and I bought, and they put it in three different pouches, and for 24 hours, it held the temperature, 155. And then we finished it off. My son did it on his little Traeger, and I did it on my barbecue. And we had a competition to see whose tasted better. They voted on theirs because it had a smoke ring around it, a little bit of smoke. I voted on mine, and they agreed. Mine was more tender and juicy. And so, it's like, I put them both together. But what was missing for me, because I'm Hispanic, I grew up with the jalapenos, was pickled jalapenos, the ones with the carrots and the onions in it. You know what I'm talking about? It just is not complete. I love my cranberry. I love mashed potatoes. I love gravy. I love brisket. But it just was missing something. I have my jalapeno. And now I got my boys changed because we cleaned out that whole jar during dinner because they've been trained. And even my little grandkids, they start to, what is that? Let me have a bite. Woo, that's hot. But I think about the same thing as with you and I. When we don't bring, you're thinking, what's the big deal? It's just a jalapeno. And we know some of you are pretty spicy. But we need your spicy. Bring it to the table because it just doesn't taste the same. It's what completes it. And you know what I'm talking about? It's like when you have that meal that it just satisfied, all the flavor buds all around your mouth are satisfied because you've had a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it comes together, and then you're done. You're like, that was so good. That was so good. And that's what it is when we come in the church and we bring our gifts. And I just speak against you guys that are taking a second row. Stop that. You need to step out and step into what God has created you to be. Who He has called you to be. You are gifted. Wonderfully made. Maybe you're the cram baby. Maybe you're the jalapeno. Maybe you're the brisket, man, with the smoke ring. You've been roasting for a long time. For a long time. But man, the flavor that's ready to come out is ready to burst out. Step into who God called you to. Do not listen to the enemy. The question is not, do I have value? The question is, how will I steward the value I have been given? Plan with God's plans in mind. Plan with the beginning in mind, and plan with the end in mind. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What's the biggest honor that you can give someone? Let somebody say money. Imitate them. Want to be like them. That's the biggest honor you can give somebody. God, that's what God wants us to do. That's how we honor Him, is by wanting to be like Him, to do what He does, right? To feel what He feels, to pray what Jesus prays, to see what Jesus sees. All those things. Plan to follow God's example. Be transformed by His love. Be changed in how your motivations, in what your thoughts are, not out of being bothered by something or trying to get away from something that messes with your plans, but saying, man, what can I do? What is the loving thing to do right now? What is the loving thing to say? What is the loving thing not to say right now? To be like God, pleasing and fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. Leviticus 11:45. You talk about set the bar high. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. Holy means to be set apart. It's interesting in the New Testament talks about perfection. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's like, what the? You know, being a task-oriented is like, you know what? Good enough is never good enough. When God says, no, be perfect as I am perfect. And that is being motivated by love. Not requiring people to earn your love, but giving your love freely. And Jesus raises the bar beyond that, doesn't he? He says, don't just love your friends. What does he say? Love your enemies. It's like, love those people who are really drive you crazy. Love those people who you don't like to be around. Find out their story. Ask questions of people who already talk too much. Ask them who they are. Ask them what they care about. Love them. To be holy, we have to plan for holiness. Plan to be different from the world. With a different motivation, with a different priorities, with different goals. No, plan with the end in mind, and plan to be an imitator. 3 John 1:11. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. What behavior do you copy? You know, we see it in kids a lot. When you send them to school and all of a sudden they start coming home saying 6-7, 6-7. It's like, what is that about? It's like, and then you have to learn. It's like, okay, that's the thing that's going on. That's what's being said, you know, and a myriad of other things. I think it's important that you have some kids in your life. Otherwise, the world will pass you by. It's like, I trust it's funny how quickly some of you who are in your 30s now or late 20s, you already are past the curve. Do you recognize that? You are no longer cool. You will no longer know what's going on. You have to ask somebody who's in, you know, 11, 16 to know what's going on. Be an imitator of what is what? Good. Do you copy sarcasm? Or crude humor? Or ridicule? Do you jump on that wagon when things start to be funny, right? How can that be hurtful if it's funny? Do you jump on that logic? Or are you quiet? Hold yourself back, reflective, and do what is right. Hardworking, kind, wise. Hebrews 6:12 says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Imitate people that are patient. We all know people who are impatient, right? They're just stressful to be around. When you can't measure up because they're impatient instead of gracious and saying, hey, you'll get this. Just give it another try. Here, let me help you this time. Faithful, they don't give up because you don't measure up, but faithful, imitate it. Anyone can start a race, but only those who plan to be faithful will finish. And plan to be imitated. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. What examples are you giving your kids to follow? What example are you giving your friends to follow? What example are you giving your church to follow? I love Paul when he says, "He follow me as I follow Christ." He was so convinced, not of his perfection, but his motivation and who he was following. He says, "Do what I do." How many of you can boldly say that? Do what I do. Most would say, yeah, do this part, but not this part. But I think there's some grace in that. Follow as I follow Christ, because even in our imperfection, God tells us to repent. So I tell my kids, that's the best example I gave my kids, was not my perfection, but was what I did when I screwed up. I said, would you forgive me? I was a bonehead. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I was more concerned as they got older. I was able to say, I was more concerned about this, my plans going like I wanted. And when this got in my way, I got all upset. Would you forgive me? Because that's the best thing I want them to follow, so that when they're imperfect with their spouses and with their kids, they can say, will you forgive me? Be imitated. My son carries granola bars in his car so that when he sees people in need, he has something to give them. You know? And I was so wowed the other day when he talked about being imitated, plan to be imitated. His son, who's first grade, said, "Dad, hey, do you have one of those bars? I see somebody I want to give this to." I was like, that's being imitated. His son, it kind of blew me away, because it is, you know, when they're little, they're super squirrely, and you're not quite sure what's going to come out of that, you know, Tasmanian devil and stop spinning. But as they grow, those things that you knocking yourself in the head is like, are they getting any of it? And the answer is yes. That's why it's so important to be faithful in who the kids you're raising and how you respond to them, to be faithful. And it's never too late to be faithful. A lot of us can have regrets. Say, you know, maybe you came to the Lord late in life, or maybe you clued in late in life, but now you're walking. It's like, I want to follow Jesus. It's not too late. God redeems what the enemy has stolen. He will bring relationship. And maybe you're just examples, like your dad was a bonehead, your mom did these things, but now I see where life is and I want to be faithful in that. You're exampling that turning and what's important to you and how you live and how you talk and what you pursue. As we think about goals that grow us spiritually, how do we make those kind of goals? And I talk about that plan, you know, what's the difference between a plan and a goal? I don't know. Some people say, well, plan is like big picture, structure, where you're going, which is kind of what we talked about, the end game. And goals are those steps specific to help you walk towards that plan or that end game. And as I think about plans that I'm challenging you and me to make for 2026 would be plans that honor God. To have goals set aside to be able to articulate and think about and say, God, would you show me? Because we all got things to do. And I separated this from just goals to goals that grow us spiritually. Because I've got goals. I've got a list of things I want to get done. I mean, one of them is our bedroom door, it's loose. And it drives me crazy, but I just haven't had time to put the new screws in. And we notice that when the kids come over, grandkids, and we keep our door shut when people are in the house, and the wind comes in the house, you know, just from the heat, it goes, okay, 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 okay. Being the deaf guy, I don't hear a thing. But my wife has to give up and shove her slipper in there and shut the door to keep it from rattling. I'm thinking, that's on my goal list. But that's not the kind of goals we're talking about, because I know there's other things that you want to accomplish. But I want us to think in the context of, what are spiritual goals? Things that grow my soul. The first one that we're going to talk about, five ways that we can make goals that honor God. The first one is to commit your goals to God. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Seek to honor God. It's like talking about what's the context. And I think there's other goals, you know, that for sure honor God. Hopefully all your goals do, you know. But I'm thinking something spiritually, something that transformed my soul. God, would you help me see what it is that has to change in me? Lord, I want to commit that what I choose to change are things that you're highlighting for me. Lord, would you help these things be walked out, not just up here, but in life. In life. God wants us to be committed to our plans. To commit our plans to the Lord and to be committed to our plans, right? It's not just saying, God, I want to honor you and everything I do. It's like, no, if these are plans that God's laid on your heart, this is like an assignment from God to say, hey, if God said, hey, would you go take out the trash? We'd probably go, oh man, I'm on it, God. Okay, Lord, what's next? To be able to think of something, to understand that God is asking you, to be able to think through, says, no, this isn't just ideas that are coming to my head. These are things the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And so as you walk that out, you're not just walking out obedience, you're walking out a relationship with God, the creator of the universe, who loves you and has good plans to give you hope in the future. Do you ask God for help before or after you make your plans? Right? How many have prayed this prayer? God, would you bless what we're going to do here? We've planned to do this. And God, would you just like make things go smoothly so that we accomplish what we planned? This verse challenges us. No, we ask him before we make the plans. God, would you help me figure out what plans and the order to do? And then God says what? And your plans will be established. When we line up our will with God's will, when we plan with his will in mind. In fact, this next way is just that. Align your goals to God's purposes. Purpose, Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. To make goals that really are making me more like Jesus. Because when you talk about spiritual, because some of us like, hey, I want my wealth to grow, or I want to get out of debt this year, or help me figure out how to fix my car so that we can have, you know, a car that's reasonable and we can drive that doesn't quit on the side of the road. But to align with God's purposes of who he wants us to be, you know, the image of his Son, you know, all those things God is. In patient and kind and encouraging and forgiving, all those things that God wants us to be made into the image of his Son. Keep God's will in mind as you make your plans. As you think about your spiritual plans, your spiritual goals, are they goals that will grow your character to be more like Christ? Are they goals that will grow your faith? Do they require your faith to achieve? And that goes back to what I said, is like, to be, when we make goals, All of us like to be successful. There's nobody who likes to fail. But faith will not grow unless we bite off something that's beyond our ability. And there's nothing that's more beyond our ability than the transformation of our heart. When I talk about spiritual goals, that there will be spiritual goals that transform how we look at things, to make a goal about those kind of things. Number three is seek to know God's wisdom and guidance. That seems like a no-brainer, right? James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be what? Given to you. God wants us to plan wisely, but we need to ask Him for His help. As part of it is just that process of faith said is our own narcissistic, self-centered attitude that I got this covered. You know, the kid that you ask who's struggling, can't get their shoe tied, and you say, can you help them? And they say, no. And they're laying on the ground crying, trying to get their shoe on. Do you want me to help you? No. Okay. And then finally they say, if they're really stubborn, they won't tell you, they'll just hand you the shoe. And sometimes we're like that with God, right? He wants humble people to say, God, would you help me? Would you help me? Would you give me wisdom? Do any of you need help in making wise plans? Ask and believe that God will give His wisdom what? How? Generously. Generously. God wants us to plan for success. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. God's wisdom leads us to careful planning. I've been known, there's different terms, shoot from the hip. The one my dad often used was fly by the seat of your pants. That's me. That's my default. And that isn't what God asked me to do. He said, ask me to plan. He didn't say, planning and flying by the seat of your pants, those are not the same. To be able to say, okay, if this is something important, God, that you're calling me to, I need to plan for it. I need to put some goals in place. And knowing that my diligent time and effort in planning, that there will be a profit from it. It may not be, you know, it's the old adage, if you don't aim for an A, if you aim for an A, you will get a better grade than if you don't aim for anything. Right? If you aim for A, and some of you get A's. Me, I had to aim for an A and I'd get a B. But if I knew that if I didn't aim for an A, I was no way going to get a B. In a few classes, I tricked the teacher. I got A's, but thank you, Lord. But what is it that we're aiming for? What is it that we're asking God to give us wisdom about? And number four, trust in God's goals more than your own goals. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. One of my hallmark verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think about how our world lives or how we live or tempted in our attitudes. I think of anxiety. I think of second guessing. I think of the myriad of false starts, good ideas that peter out quickly. I think of changing of our minds. Oh yeah, I decided I didn't want to do that. What are you talking about? You were talking about that for 3 months and now you're not going to do it? What happened? I think all of those are symptom of not trusting the Lord with all of our heart. Because I think when we trust the Lord with all of our heart, He settles our heart. It's like, is this? And that's that faith thing, right? It's like, how do I know? How do I know that God wants me to do this? You don't. Until when? You step out in faith. It's called faith for a reason. Right? Being certain about what you don't see, that we get to walk that out. Faith. To be able to trust Him and say, you know, just, I know I'm like you in that sometimes when you make a plan to do something and you believe that God's called you and then things don't go well, what is our impulse reaction? It's like, oh, I must have not heard God right. We have to go on the get-go that if God tells you to do something, in this world, you will have trouble. If God tells you to do something, just plan on it. When, like Peter says, he says, don't think of it as something strange is happening to you. This is normal. When the flesh and the spirit come together, it's like, hey, there's going to be problems. There's going to be a problem with your own flesh to be able to step away and say, okay, God, you're in charge. I cannot do what my flesh wants. I need to do what I committed to do. You don't understand? It cost me. It cost me. Well, yeah, you're right. That's called faith. Because do you believe God asked you to do that or not? Does God change His mind? No. God doesn't change His mind. We change our mind. God doesn't change His mind. And part of that process is saying, okay, God, You asked me to do this, and You're going to have to help me if this is going to happen. If You don't show up, it ain't going to look pretty. And the beauty of what shows up is success. And it's really important that you and I have a definition of success that's different than the world's. God's definition of success is, did You obey Me? But I embarrassed myself, Lord. I did what You asked me to do, and now I'm humiliated, and God says, you're successful. Failure is when we disobey God. Success is when we obey God, regardless of the outcome. Regardless of the outcome. That's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding says, measure success as people like you. People think of you better now than before you stepped out in faith. It's like, no, God says, did you obey Me? Did you trust Me? Regardless of what happens. Do you rebel against God's plan when things get hard? I know, I've been there. Where I'm like, I prayed about it, I believe God called me, and things got hard, and the thought came, oh no, I didn't hear that right. It's really important that you share your goals with brothers and sisters so that you have an echo. They can say, no, that is what God said to you. What are you thinking? Obviously, it's not going like you planned, but God asked you to be here. That means that God's got some other plans, right? Plans to give you what? A hope and a future. That will not happen if we do it when things are easy or because we've got it figured out. Lean not on your own understanding. Follow Him. Number five, know God is present in your goals. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God wants us to plan for His presence. To say, hey, at any moment in time, God's got my back. I can run to Him and be protected in His fort, in His castle, that nobody, enemy, no dart can get into, no enemy can get into, and I can trust on His strength. To run to God, to depend on Him, to look to His strength. And when, that's a 46 says, and ever-present help in trouble. When do you and I seek God's help? when things are going good or when things are going bad? All of us, we're just like, oh, God, you know, I guess I should pray about it. You think? We should start that way. Just like I said, commit. When you bring God into the picture, before you pursue a plan, to know that God is present in your goals, in the planning of it. But when things get hard, when you're looking for strength and encouragement, that God is present. What Jesus said, his last words, right? Never will I leave you or abandon you. I will always be there for you. I like Paul's in Philippians 4:13, his perspective, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That he knew where he was headed. He knew he always had that goal of being like Christ, being obedient, being a witness. How will you practice God's presence in your planning? And I think about when I talked about earlier about writing things down. I take notes when Rich preaches, when I go and hear other messages, I take notes. Part of it helps me pay attention because I can wander off. I'm like, okay, there's the next point. I'm going to write it down. But the other piece of it is that I want things to get into me, not just on me, right? I want it to, and there's a biological chemical reaction. When we write stuff down, it goes from what is short-term memory, but when we write things down, it helps things go to long-term memory. It's not just like it. Just like when you want to remember something, you repeat it. You know, that's one of those kind of things that helps remember, because it helps it go from something that your brain discards to something that you retain. And it's something that, when I talk about that, when these goals, that is, if you want to celebrate some goals that you accomplished in 2026, we need to write them down. We need to write them down. The goals, and this is nothing earth-shattering. I'm sure you heard of it before, but it's super practical. Is even in spiritual goals, they need to reflect, be SMART goals, right? They need to be specific. What is it that, be clear about what it is that you're trying to do, that you want to do. It need to be measurable. It's like, I just want to be nicer in 2026. That's not measurable. You know, measurable, I want to do 3 kind things every day. That's measurable. It also should be achievable. Ensure you can achieve the goal. Because sometimes we have things that are, they're things that depend on other people to do. You know, they need to be things that are achievable for us to do. And they need to be relevant. Does the goal really align with the whole goal of growing spiritually? You know, or, you know, any goal that you have or plan that you have, is it relevant to what you're trying to accomplish? And then the T is time bound. Make sure that your goal has a start and an end point. It's like, I'm going to start January 1, and by, you know, the end of January, I'm going to have done this many times. By the end of March, I'm going to have done it this many times. So that's something, and by, you know, by the end of the year, I can look back and see, you know, the ways, and have written down the ways that I've accomplished that. When I talk about writing goals down, it's important because it provides clarity, it provides motivation, it provides focus, it provides accountability. Because I talked about accountability, like teasing my wife why she doesn't like to tell me accountability, because I'm going to say, hey, I thought you weren't going to, or I thought you were going to, you know, that writing it down is a kind of accountability too. That's why it's important if you have a goal. That what are the 2 places that you can think of that you should put that goal if you want to see it every day?
Church
Refrigerator? What's the other place? Mirror. Two places that most of us look at every single day. Maybe more times than we care to admit, but two places. It's like you want to put those goals in places that you'll see, and those are two places that I like to put things, in particular the mirror, because that's where I start out the day. Writing them down and posting them in the place that you'll often see. What goals to grow spiritually for 2026 will you be brave enough to write down? You got a few days before January 1 to be thinking about it. What is it? Because I know all of you, if I were to ask you guys, I guarantee all of you guys would come up with a spiritual goal. I'm not saying I don't know that necessarily it's the one that God wants you to write down. But I know there's things that, and maybe it's around those things that you know that you want to live differently as a believer, that you want to trust God more. I challenge you to write those things down. One of the things that I really appreciated by Foursquare, besides being part of a bigger family, is there's opportunities, some really good teaching that as pastors and continuing education, if you will, that I get to participate in, that they encourage all their pastors to be lifelong learners. I want to example and live the life that I want to encourage you guys to live, right? I want to be a good imitator. And one of those things I took this last term was I took a class called Foursquare Discovery. And it was 8 weeks, it was 2 days, 8 sessions up in Seattle at a church. Met together a bunch of other pastors. And then 8 weeks of Zoom meetings every week. And part of that process was coming up with a description, going through your story of who, your story as a believer, and even before, of how God has grown you and challenged you. And the challenge was, hey, come up with, as you put that and paint that picture, come up with two words that describe your passion and who God created you to be. The two words that I came up with for me, as I think about my motivation for doing things in lots of different ways, is inspiring growth. And then one of those kind of things that it was important to me is that growth, spiritual growth, is really important. Not just telling people about things, but hopefully exampling and saying things that encourage. If you're a writer, which some of you are, you know, you come up with those words like, oh, inspiring growth. Not just growth, but inspiring growth. You think of inspiring as like an inspiring speech or inspiring ways that people live. And they said, hey, expand on those two words and come up with 6 words that describe who you are. And I wrote, inspiring growth in faith through authentic relationship. You know, and I part of that process was they asked us to text some friends that we have. I did have a few. And ask them to give you 2 words of what they think your life is about. And it was kind of twofold. One is it gives confirmation of who God created in me and what was important to me, but also was eye-opening to what people see in my life. And so that was encouraging. After my 6 words, they asked you to write 12 words. And then some of the people came up with different sentences, but I kind of just went off my same idea. It went like this. Inspiring transformational growth in faith through authentic, infectious relationship with God and others. That's who I see God creating me to be. I love relationship. I love laughing. I love being challenged. Okay, I don't love being challenged. I love the benefit of being challenged because I grow. And I love being in community. And I see that that how I live, how you live is more important than what you say, right? We know that you can tell people to over and over what to do, but they won't. It doesn't have any power to it unless you walk that out. As I came up with out of that context of who God called me to be in those 2 and 6 and 12 words, here's my written goal for 2026. Is to identify and meet with one person each week to encourage their identity in Christ, God's calling in their life, and helping them to discover, grow, and impact. I will celebrate success weekly, monthly, and have that in place by the end of March of 2026. And I know that goals, God can tweak it and adjust it, but that's something that God laid in my heart that was beyond my, it was spiritual, right? It's out of my calling, but beyond my ability, because I need God to show me who is it that I need to make the phone call to, or what comes up in a conversation, or that my interaction with them is in line with my goal. Here's the interesting thing why it's important that we write it down, and why I wrote mine down, obviously from this class, was challenging this, but people who write down their goals are 20 to 40% more likely to do them, to be successful at them. It's important. That's why I'm challenging you. Don't just come and do a sermon. Don't just come and be encouraged, praise the Lord, worship together. But come and say with the goal, say, God, would you transform my heart? Would you grow me? This is a challenge for today, that all of us, who if you want to see God's interactive transformation of your life and heart, to make a spiritual goal and to write it down. And then, isn't this so great? I just shared mine with all of you and the people online. Is that accountability or what? It's like, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Not because we're perfect, but I want to be a guy who grows. I don't want to be the same as I was last year. God is, He is amazing. I see the blessing. I'm part of how God gets to grow me, I can tell, is just in relationship with my grandkids. Anybody remember that movie, Grumpy Old Men? Do you have to practice that? It just happens. You know, then again, you know, you practice all your life what you're going to be when you're old. But I'm saying, I'm like, man, it's noisy and it's messy. But I can get down on the Lord floor and play a game with my grandkids. Or I can listen to them tell a story, my one that just talks 90 miles a minute. It's like trying to keep up with the story and laugh and play. And then they come up and say, "My Grampy, we're going to leave now. Can I come give you a hug?" I said, "You bet." It's like, oh, that's what I've communicated to them. That relationship isn't just verbal, but it's physical. It's interactive. And it is, I see how the Lord has changed my heart. I this is going to sound a really weird way to say it, but I am less bothered by my grandkids. Okay, that's a negative way to say it. I am enjoying more my time with them. It's because I want God's perspective. I want His heart in what I do. What goals has God laid on your heart? And what goal will you write down and ask the Lord to help you achieve it? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you're the God of plans, but you're also the God of success. Lord, you want us to trust you and to see, be amazed by how you pull things together. I am so wowed over and over about things that I have set to rest and say, okay, I can't do that right now, but I'm going to trust you, God, that when the time is right, that you'll bring that thought to mind, or that you'll tell me what I should do. And as I've had that peace to walk away from things, realizing that I cannot control everything in my life, or very little, that when the time comes, and the next day or the next week, or a few days later, how you have navigated perfectly what I needed for that moment. The idea, the thought, the time. Lord, I pray that I would be a faithful follower of you, that I would be an imitator of your Son, but I also would be cognitive of what is it that I'm presenting to others to be imitated, to my wife, to my kids, to my grandkids, to my church, to my neighbors, to my friends, to my coworkers. Lord Jesus, I look forward to 2026. I look forward to the goals that folks in our church body would write down and trust you and to see accomplished, to grow their faith. In Jesus' name, amen.